You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. So we have our great friends, as I already introduced, Danny and Jamie Schultz here. Last year, about May, we had Danny speak on both our Sunday services here in Messina and Augsburg, and he had just an incredible word on worship. Does anybody remember it? Yeah, it was just an incredible word. We kicked off a series in worship, and as I invited him to come back this weekend as we did our commissioning service, I just kind of put it in their court. I said, hey, whatever one of you guys wants to speak, and Danny said, well, I spoke last time, so it's Jamie's turn. So we are so privileged to have Pastor Jamie Schultz come and share the word with us today, so why don't we welcome her. Come on, Jamie.
Fun. So fun to be with you guys here today. All weekend, really, man, God's been moving. So cool to see what's happening in this area and the way that God is just stirring the people of God to believe. And today I have a prophetic word I want to bring to you about what I believe God's doing inside of your house. But before we get to that, I want to just brag on your pastors here for a moment because, man, we really love them. It's so fun. I'm not a big traveler person. I'm kind of an introvert. Danny was telling somebody in one of the services this weekend that I have like a million plants, and I do. I have so many plants at my house that one of my big worries is that when I leave, my kids won't water them, and that I'll come back and they'll all be dead. And so every time I leave, I get a little bit stressed out. But I just have to tell you the reason why I'm willing to leave and just like leave the children in my plant children in the hands of my natural children is because I just love being here with your pastors. They're incredible in every way. We've watched them from a distance. We've spent lots of time with them. And just every time we're together, I'm amazed by the grace of God that's in their lives, the way that they love each other, the way that they love you, the way that they love Jesus. They are just the real deal. And if you're new here inside of the church and you're just kind of getting to know, hey, what's this church community about? I just want to be the stranger from all the other side of the United States to tell you these guys are awesome. This should be your church home. There's something that's incredible going on here. So would you just honor your pastors here today? Tell Greg and Jessica how much you love them. Oh, man. Even yesterday, they took us out to Lake Placid, and me and Danny had told them that our very first real fight that we ever got in was on Valentine's Day over 20 years ago. We were first married, and he had planned a surprise for me on Valentine's Day, and we showed up at the theater, and he brought me to a hockey movie. It was a miracle. Is that what it was called, right? And I was so upset with him about that. I was like, it is Valentine's Day. This is not the day for sports movies. We're supposed to be doing something that is fun and romantic. We got in our biggest fight, I think, that we'd been in so far to that date after that showing. And they were like, you guys, we need to go redeem this moment. So they took us to the place where it was filmed. We got to have a little bit of a redemptive moment. We're leaving here with a stronger marriage than when we came in. So thank you guys for that. That's awesome. We just love you and appreciate you so much. Here's the word I want to bring to you. Well, let me tell you this before I get into the word. A little bit about me and Danny. We are co-lead pastors in Spokane, Washington. Our church is coming up on 10 years old. We are church planters, and we have another campus that we just started this last year. And so we're busy. We have lots of different things going on in our world. We also have three teenage kids right now. And so our world is just busy all the time with all of their friends. We have a 19-year-old, we have a 16-year-old, and then our daughter is 14 years old. She just started high school this last week. And man, they are just going all the time. I'm the only introvert in our whole family. They're all extroverts. And so they plan parties all the time. And they just invite people over to our house, and I just have to learn to deal with it. So that's just us in a little bit of a nutshell. That's how it goes in our home. But we love pastoring. We love the people of God. We love seeing what God's doing all over the nation. And one of the things I just sensed just ahead of time that God's doing, I believe it's bigger than this area, but I believe it's specific for this area, is that he is really moving his people into a place of deeper trust for this next season. So the message I want to bring to you today is the makings of a feast. And I want to talk to you about what God wants to do and our part in actually making sure it comes and is a reality inside of our world. And I don't know about you, but I prefer feasts to fasting. We do this thing in our church, 21 Days of Prayer. We do it in January and we do it in August. And in January, we call it prayer and feast or fasting. So, you know, we're all cutting out everything out of our world and we're just like zoning in. God, what do you want to do? And then we get to August and we decided, hey, this doesn't seem like the same thing. Like, we shouldn't be fasting in August. We still are in the middle of summer. Barbecues are going on. And so we've decided it's prayer and fasting in August. Feasting. Oh, that's right. That's right. It's prayer and feasting in August, prayer and fasting in January. And what I love about that, right, is that we're gathering people around to just enjoy food, fellowship, interacting. And I'd so much prefer August than January. How many people are with me? Anybody that's like, I'm a little bit more of a faster, like, let's deprive ourselves of food. Probably no one's going to raise their hand on that one because it's just not as much fun. I so prefer the feasting to the fasting, but here's the thing that I've recognized about fasting seasons is that God's actually deepening our trust for what it is that he wants to do. And so often he leads us into a place where there's lack. There's not everything that we need for the moment because he's building in us something that we need for the season to reach out and grab hold of him for that. In fact, I look at the wilderness and God leads the children of Israel out into the wilderness. And they look around them in that wilderness and they're like, there's not food here. At least when we were slaves in Egypt, there was food. But here we are in the wilderness and there's no food. And what God's trying to lead them into is that they would depend on him for the water that comes from the rock and the manna that comes from heaven. Is that they would look that God is their provider even in the most difficult of situations. And that actually happens again and again and again throughout Scripture, is that there is a fast before there is a feast. And this, I believe, is a moment for the Big C Church as we look around where we look and go, God, there's something you want to do, but I don't see the resources for doing it. And maybe you would just examine your own life right now and you know, as we've been gathering for commissioning night and we've been just leaning into the prophetic. God, what is it you're saying and you're doing? And maybe something stirs in your heart and you're like, God, I want something for my life. I don't want to just do every day the same. I don't want just the fasting of not having. I want the feasting that comes after the fast. God, I want something more. But right now I'm in the fasting kind of position in life. And what I want to talk to you about is how do we move then from the place that we are when we're fasting into the place that God's called us to when we're feasting. And Psalms 20 says this, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And this is a moment in which I believe God's asking us, who do we trust in? What do we trust in? Is our trust that he's the one that prepares banquets in the wilderness, feasts when there's nothing else around, or are we looking to things that are around us? And our anxiety can build in fasting moments because we look around us and we go like, God, I don't see what you have. I don't see what you want to do, but it also is an opportunity, and that's the thing that I want you to grab hold of here today. It's an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing when he is wanting to create a feast. So here's the things I want to give you today. Here's four ingredients that are found in prayer that help us make the feast that God is wanting us to experience, not just for our lives, but for the community around us. And here's the first thing I want to give you. You are a church that prays. I can sense that. When I come in here, man, there's a difference between a church that doesn't really know the power of prayer and then a church like yours who has a wealth of prayer warriors. But it's not enough that you have some people and you have a pocket of people who pray and lean in and understand what God wants to do. God wants to start a movement of prayer. And that means it's not just a segment of people that understand what God wants to do, but it needs to be everybody grasping and understanding what is God doing through the posture of prayer. And here's the first thing I want to give you is that prayer actually will train your heart to trust. So if you are just wrestling. God, I'm here in the wilderness. God, I'm feeling like there's a season, and maybe he's the one that's led you into the fast. I don't have what I need because I believe God asked me to give it up, and I'm looking at the lack around me, but I know a feast is coming. I just don't see how it's going to come. Prayer is the thing that trains your heart to trust. And we come into this posture of prayer and we just learn how to wait. We learn how to ask. We learn how to seek. And in the course of my life, I've just moved from a place of asking God for the things that felt religious, right? The things that I felt like, this is what you ask for in church. You come in and you ask for spiritual things, to asking for every little thing that I could possibly need. And the way that God trains you in that prayer place is that I'm just not asking for all the spiritual, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. God, give me joy. God, give me peace. God, I want all of those things. I'm asking for the littlest, smallest things. Like, God, I have a cold right now, and I feel like I can't breathe very well. God, would you open my lungs? Little tiny things. God, I think that somebody is kind of frustrated with me. I don't know. I just kind of get this vibe. Would you help me understand how to navigate this relationship? Like the smallest, tiniest things is we're training our heart to trust, because some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, meaning that they're looking for resources in the natural world that God's wanting to provide in the spiritual world. But prayer teaches us how to trust. Here's the second thing, is prayer changes your perspective. Because giants look big from where you're standing, but they look way smaller from where God is ruling. And when we get in the place of prayer, the things that we're facing, all of a sudden, they shift their perspective. And the thing doesn't change. Whatever we're facing doesn't change. It's that our perspective on it changes in the place of prayer. And so I want to bring you, this is the passage I want to work out of here today, is John chapter 6. If you have your Bible, if you want to open it. My eyes are getting worse and worse. I'm going to read it from my laptop, because otherwise I would need my reading glasses to read it from my physical Bible. But I want to read to you in chapter 6, John chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And it says this: Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, who is one of his disciples, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. These are always what fasting moments provide, right? Is God takes away from us, and then he's testing us. There's something that he is developing on the inside of us. And so Philip answered him, and he said, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" And you notice the perspective in this moment. We're looking at the crowd, and there's a lot of people here. And we're looking around, and there's no possible way to meet the need of the people. And then one of them, and I just so wonder it, why he brought it up. Like, is this like a real proposal? Is this like a sarcastic proposal? Like, one of my kids might, I mean, you could take the lunch of the little boy, right? Like, I don't know his motive for bringing this up. All we know is that he brings this little tiny bit in comparison to this great big need. And it just doesn't look like this is going to work at all. And here's the thing that I realized, though, as I was in this passage and I was praying about it. I said, like, God, man, I feel like this right now. I look out at our nation, the election coming up, everything that's going on in our nation. And just, man, sometimes you look at it and you're like, where are we headed? Like, regardless of what happens this fall, it just feels like things are worrisome on every level. As I look around the globe and all the different things that are going on, it just feels like there's a lot of need right now, God. And I look at what I have, and I'm like, all I got's a lunch. I got a lunch. I got a little bit for this, and it just feels like nothing at all. And what I began to realize as I was just spending time with God, just looking at this problem, is that actually my faith tends to be higher when I have nothing at all versus when I have a little bit. Because when I have nothing at all, I can imagine. And I almost move into a fantasy kind of place. Have you ever done this? When I was little, Man, I grew up in the mountains. And when I was little, I would just like lay on my back in the grass. I'd look up at the clouds and they take on all these shapes. And I just begin to imagine. And you daydream and you think like, maybe, you know, I'm going to be this when I get bigger. Maybe I'm going to go do things like this. And you just imagine because there's nothing to stop you from imagining. But it became harder and harder to imagine as my life unfolded. And when I became a senior in high school and all of a sudden I'm having to look at what college am I going to go to and what money do I have to even go to college and what college will accept me, now all of a sudden I'm not dreaming about anything is possible. Now I'm looking at the lunch, the little bit that I have, and I'm like, I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough for the thing that I want to do, that I believe God's called me to do. It feels so insignificant compared to it. And what I want you to realize here today is that some of you, you've been dreaming, and there was a day in which it was easier to dream. It was like, I can just put my head in the sand, and I can just believe, like, wow, something awesome's going to happen. But then you start moving out into it, and you're like, whew, how is this going to work? I think about Peter, when Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says, if it's you, Jesus, then ask me to come to you. Jesus said, come. So Peter steps out of the boat and he starts walking on water. And while he's in the boat, imagining walking on water, man, that seems like, what if I could do that? But as soon as he's actually doing it, then it's like, phew. And you know the story. If you've been around church for a while, he starts getting his eyes focused on all the waves and everything going on around him. And it's not very long until he starts to sink. And what I want you to understand is that prayer is so necessary in our lives because it's not just teaching us to trust God, you're the one that provides. But what prayer is doing is it's changing our perspective. And we begin to look at a little tiny lunch and you begin to go like, God, what could you do with this little tiny lunch? It doesn't look like a feast. It doesn't look like it's everything that's needed for this massive crowd that's gathered, but it's what I have. And it could be that this little lunch is the ingredients you need to do something incredible. The makings of a feast come together when people put what they have in God's hands. And then they pray for God to multiply it. Because here's what you see happening, right? These guys are all wondering and, well, I don't know how to solve this problem. We don't have any food. And they're like, well, here's this little bit of lunch. And then if you know the rest of the story, God, Jesus begins to multiply that food and it begins to spread. And there's not just enough for everyone that's gathered there, but there's more than enough. They take up all of these baskets and they're like, look at how much there is. And the only difference of what happens in between, I don't know what to do and we don't have enough, and there is more than enough, is that Jesus takes this little lunch in his hands and he just thanks God for it. It's a moment of prayer. It's a moment of prayer. And there's not this huge, big prayer meeting. There's not everyone gathered. We're going to, like, come in and all night long, guys, lock the doors. We're staying in here. We're going to plead that God would take this little lunch and turn it into something. What's different about this is Jesus walks in this posture of prayer. So all he does, he just takes it in his hands and he thanks God for so little. Thank you for this little bit. And then that little bit is no longer a little bit. Here's the third thing I want to give you. Prayer creates momentum towards the kingdom of heaven breaking in. Prayer does that. Prayer all of a sudden is allowing what God really wants to do to move into your reality and something begins to happen. So John chapter 6, let's go back, verse 10, it says this. Jesus said, have all the people sit down. And there's plenty of grass in that place. And so they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. So meaning if they had their wives and their children with them, this is a significant crowd of people. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And this is so significant. Jesus doesn't just give enough. There is more than enough. Because God is not just looking at the people that are gathered in this room on this Sunday morning. God is looking at a community that is outside the walls of this church. He's looking at a region. So he doesn't want just enough for you and for your families and for your children. He's wanting enough for people who are far from this house right now. More than enough. But if we're going to see God take the famine, even sometimes the places of fast where he's led us into the place where there's a lack, and he's going to turn it into a feast, then we have to become a people of prayer who fill the middle space. And I was looking at this in school. I have this little slingshot I brought with me. And I was thinking about in school. I have some nieces and nephews. And there's something that they teach you in school about energy. And a lot of times when we come into prayer, maybe if you come into a prayer meeting, there's some of you I know, I've already talked to you in this room, and man, you love the place of prayer. And then there's some of you that I haven't talked to you yet, but I just know, because I know me and I know us as people, that sometimes you come in that place of prayer and you're like, man, I love it. I love the idea of prayer, but it's hard to pray because it feels like nothing's happening. It feels like I come in, and have you ever had this kind of moment where you got up early in the morning and you were trying to pray and it just got really quiet and you got really tired and you find yourself drifting off in that place of sleep? Because it feels like this is a place of inactivity. It's a quiet place. Sometimes maybe we get loud in prayer, but lots of times it's kind of, you know, quiet in this place. And it feels like this is not anything really taking place. We're bringing our request before God, so we know somewhere kind of tucked away inside of our head, yes, we're bringing these requests before God and he's moving, but there's also this reality of it feels like, man, there's something we could go do. There's something that maybe we could put our hands to that maybe would just be a little bit more active for whatever problems we see in the world. And I was looking at just what they're teaching in school, something I learned when I was in school, and there's something called potential energy. Anybody remember these lessons when you were in school? If you remember what potential energy is stored energy based on its position. So it means that, like, that potential energy is not just like what you look at right here, but it's what you look at as the position even begins to change. There's a potential energy that begins to take place as the slingshot moves into a different position. Right? There is a potential energy, and then what will happen is if you pull this all the way back and if it has something inside of it, that potential energy changes. The potential energy now has this ability to move into kinetic energy where something is going to happen and it's forceful. And prayer is that potential energy that is taking place. You come into this place and you just begin to ask God, would you move? And it begins to stretch back. And if I could do both of these things at the same time, it would be a better example, but I can't. You come into this place. You get together as a group, as husband and wife, as siblings, as friends. Lately, our students have just been gathering all by themselves. My daughter came back from youth camp, and she said, she called all of her friends who are at youth camp, and she says, bring your yearbook. Come to the church. We're just going to pray over the kids in our class because school's starting. And what she's believing is there's potential energy that's about to happen. God is about to let the kingdom of heaven break into earth's reality, but what he needs is some people who are willing to just pull the slingshot back. Some people who are like, I believe God wants to turn a famine into a feast, and so I'm willing to come before him and just ask him for it again and again and again, and there will be a moment, even if that moment isn't today, there will be a moment where it moves into kinetic energy, and when that is released, God's doing something. Something is changing, and all of a sudden, the little boy's lunch becomes more than enough. So here's the fourth and final thing, and I'm going to invite the team to come to the stage. I'm going to wrap up here today, but here's the fourth and final thing. Prayer invites the power of God. The power of God. And here's what I know is we are a people that are desperately in need of the power of God. Here's one of the things I've just been asking for. God, would you come and would you heal like never before? And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed this, is that people are just hurting everywhere. And sure, there's lots of different solutions that we can turn to, and some of those are good solutions. Some of those are in partnership with God that he wants to use. But so often I find we go back to the Psalms. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And we're putting our trust in other things to bring the healing that only God can bring. I just believe that God wants to move in your house and that this would become a house of healing. A place where people come, they say, I need healing in my marriage. I need healing in my family. I need healing in my body. I need healing in my soul. I need the healing of God. And my prayer is that as they come into this community of people, they would find a people of prayer, a people who are creating that potential energy in the way that they seek God, in the way that they lean in the way that they're asking, and that God would. He would take the little and he would multiply it again and again and again. Here's what happens after that moment in which Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish. Everyone looked around, John chapter 6 again, verse 14, and the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, and here's what they began to say, surely, this is the prophet who came into the world. They looked around and they said, surely there is a God. Surely God is moving in our day and he has not forgotten us. Surely God sees and he is meeting the needs of his people. Surely God is here. New Testament church, I believe that God is wanting you to posture yourself in a place that the surrounding community would say the exact same thing. Surely God is here. Surely God is moving. Surely God is doing something here. And so I just want to pray and I want to believe, because I believe you here in this moment, you're looking around and God's doing some things. But in comparison to the great need, it might feel like a little kid's lunch compared to what's going on. I believe there's some specific things that God wants to do. I believe for the next generation. I believe for leadership that he wants to raise in this house. Small group leaders, prayer leaders, leaders inside of outreach in different areas of community. I believe there's something God wants to do in the place of physical healing through this house. And you're seeing some and you're going like, yeah, here's what we got. But it's nothing in comparison to what he wants to do. So would you do this? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm just going to invite you. Here's what I do all the time in our church at home, is I just invite people to just put your hands out just in a posture of receiving. And God, I'm praying that here today, God, you would do something in New Testament church. God, where they would look at the little that's inside of their hands and you would change their perspective. God, that they would begin to believe you for what it is that you want to do, and that, God, they're just bringing what they have to the table. God, that you would create potential energy through them as they just bring their requests before you again and again and again. God, I'm asking that from this moment on, God, that they would never view, God, that place of prayer as a place of inactivity, but God, that's the place in which you're drawing the slingshot back. You're getting ready for the kingdom of heaven to break into earth's reality. And God, I'm asking that there would be a prayer movement that would be started through this house. God, it wouldn't just be prayer meetings at the church, but I'm praying in small groups and in little pockets and all over. God, there would just be people who would pray. Praying before they gather to study the word, praying before they start class, praying, God, before they even start the work day, that there would just be pockets of prayer, believing you for what you want to do. Holy Spirit, would you do it? God, there's so much need. There's a great crowd. And God, they're hungry. And God, we just sense you looking at us saying, what are we going to do about it? And God, we want to be the kind of people that look at what we have, bring it before you, watch you transform it into more than enough. God, there'd be more than enough for this house, more than enough for this community. God, it would be that which travels to the nations of the world because of what you're doing in this house. God, we're asking for it by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And just right here in this place, I just want to make this invitation. Maybe you're here today. You've just never made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And we don't want to go any further. for making just this invitation. Maybe this is the day that you just go all in with Jesus. Maybe you're listening to those words and going, I want that, but I feel like part of the crowd where I'm so in need, and I just need somebody to give me what is spiritual, living water, living bread. I need Jesus in my life. And if that's you, we just want to pray with you here today. We want to believe that this is the moment in which you just become part of the family of God and your life is transformed forever. So if that's you, on the count of three, just with head still bowed, eyes still closed, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and pray a simple prayer with us and believe that right here, everything would change. So if that's you here today, on the count of three, one, two, three, would you go ahead and raise your hand? Amen. God sees you. God sees you. You knew this moment would be here, that this would be an opportunity to transform things forever. And I'm going to invite all of us, you can go ahead and put your hands down. I'm going to invite all of us just to pray this prayer. Just believe that here today, God's meeting you. And if you raise your hand here today, you just put your faith inside of Him, God's encountering you. Would you pray this with me, church? Father God, I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus, who came to earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross for my sin. And right now, I confess all my sin before you. I ask you to wash me clean. Make me new in you. God, I give you my life. I make you my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I could live a life that pleases you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we celebrate with everyone who made that decision here today?
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.